Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all. And when they arrive, they say they can't interfere with domestic affairs between a man and his wife. And as they walk out the door, the tears well up in her eyes. Last night I heard the screaming, then a silence that chilled my soul. Prayed that I was dreaming when I saw the ambulance in the road. And the policeman said, I'm here to keep the peace. Will the crowd disperse? I think we all could use some sleep.
Welcome.
Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind.
Welcome to the Tony Tennis Show, Bipartisan Voice of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson, your host. Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call in and join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. On X, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Just as a disclaimer here, I just want to make it known that the Tone and Tenor Show is not an individual show. Tone and Tenor is the brand, and we recruit people that believe in the brand and work towards the betterment of disseminating information that has been factually checked. So I just want to make sure that everyone knows that, that this is not a individual show. The Tone and Tenor Show is a brand, and we have been here for almost 14 years, and we have the Tone and Tenor team. So you may have heard various hosts, but some of them are still behind the scene, working behind the scenes. Some of them, we don't know where they are. Even up to today, we don't know where they are. So I just want to put that out there today. And I want folks to know that we are a brand. It's not an individual. There is no Tone and there is no Tenor. It is the name of the show. Our topic today is domestic violence, attempting to avoid prosecution. We are on the heels of Domestic Violence Month, which begins October 1st through October 31st. And all around us, I felt as though that we needed to get away from talking about the politics of what's going on today and start talking about some of the things that does have political connections and are not talked about. You know, Domestic Violence Awareness Month is a national campaign dedicated to raising awareness about domestic violence. Every October, organizations and individuals unite across the country for a national effort to uplift the needs, voices, and experiences of survivors. When we talk about domestic violence, you know, most of the time we only think about violence against women. But in today's society, it's not just women. It's against other folks. Domestic violence not only affects those who are abused, but it also has a substantial effect on family members, friends, co-workers, other witnesses, and the community at large. Children who grow up witnessing domestic violence are among those seriously affected by this crime. Frequent exposure to violence in the home not only predisposes children to numerous social and physical problems, but also teaches them that violence is a norm way of life, therefore increasing their risk of becoming society's next generation of victims and or abusers. Think about that. Think about that. Domestic violence can happen to anyone, regardless of race, age, sexual orientation, religion, sex, or gender identity. Domestic violence affects people of all socioeconomic backgrounds and education levels. Domestic violence occurs in both opposite sex and same-sex relationships and presumed relationships. Because you have folks that presume that they are in a relationship with someone and the other person may just be, whether it be male or female, playing that person for their own personal gains. Domestic violence occurs in both. It can happen to intimate partners who are married, living together, dating, or think they're dating, or share a child. Why did I choose this topic today? I said it. I wanted to get ahead of what was going on in our society when it came to domestic violence and domestic abuse. And having been around folks that have been abused or have been abusers or going through potential persecution and having witnessed recently someone allegedly engaging in domestic violence, not being there physically, but on a telephone, I find it necessary to talk about it. I find it necessary to talk about domestic violence when you turn on the TV and you see videos of women getting beat in elevators. I find it necessary to talk about it when those that think they are in the upper echelon in government, allegedly working with people that have some type of power, are sports figures in the music industry that think they are above the law. They think they are above the law, and they will do anything. Some will do anything to make it look like it's not what it seems that it is. We have to realize that domestic violence is alive and well in our communities, in our homes, in our workplaces, with our friends. You know, you can't be bragging about this woman, that woman, and the other woman, and then beating on a woman, and then trying to justify what you did or allegedly did. You know, an abuser is a manipulator. An abuser will take the person's, they would take the person at their weakest time. And a male abuser may have good looks, may be a smooth talker, may promise you the world, may tell you they have this resource, that resource, and the other resource, but it's not theirs. It's that of someone else's. But it sounded good. It sounded good to a person that is in their weak state. This is what an abuser will do. An abuser is a controller, not a narcissist, because by a person can only be evaluated as a narcissist by a psychologist. Not by a social worker, not by a doctor, but by a psychologist. That's what a narcissist is. So if someone calls you a narcissist and they're an everyday person, ask them for this psychological degree. Or do they even, or have they even completed their studies or are their resumes? Are their resumes not totally always true? A person that is abused will think they have low self-esteem. A person who is abused, as I said earlier, may have witnessed abuse. Or a person that becomes abused may be that of a person that, and I'm not a psychologist. I'm going by my own research because I felt as though it was time to talk about this subject. As we come up upon domestic violence abuse month. And I wanted to get ahead of it. I wanted to start people thinking that what you always hear or what the smooth talker, the good-looking guy or whatever they tell you, that it may not always be true. You have to watch for the signs. You have to watch for the temperaments, the violence of their own. You have to watch for that everybody else is wrong and they're right. They can't accept constructive criticism. They can't accept the fact that if you tell them something or you talk to someone else, then you become the enemy. In America, black women in the United States are 6 times more likely to be victims of domestic violence compared to white women, with factors like structural racism, economic instability, and partner violence contributing to these disparities. What is economic instability? Please. What is economic instability? It's someone that's telling you that they have this, that, and the other, and they can do this for you. When you are at your lowest point, when you are unemployed, when you have bills piling up on you, when you are, they're not really being a friend, they're using you for their own gains. Or they're using them because you are related to someone that's got, in quote-unquote words, juice, which means they're supposed to have a lot more going on. We have to really look at this. And domestic violence impacts families and the communities and households are led by women. Because you think about this, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of households in the black community are single-parent homes. And some of these male abusers will step in as the savior to your sons, your daughters, or what have you. But they want you to do what they want you to do. They want you, oh, you should do holistic medicine. You should do this. You should do that. You should do. And granted, most of them don't even have their own lives together, the abusers. They're telling folks what to do, how to do it, and in reality, they don't have their life together. It may look like it is on the outside, on the surface, but internally, it may not be. When we look at the folks, you know, that are abusers, that are connected, you know, a lot of folks that are in higher level in the abusing game will always try to also manipulate the system by who they know and by what they know. And that is why a lot of victims of abuse, especially women, will not go to court, will not persecute, have a person prosecuted. Because domestic violence is hard to prosecute. Unless you got a video like Puffy, or you have witnesses that were there and witnessed it. As I said, I'm doing this show because I've had enough. I've had enough of folks manipulating other individuals. And we have to really look at this. You know, at one time, domestic violence was only talked about against women. But a lot of women would not go and prosecute a person because they had to use the same words, the same three words all over again. I love him. Today it's I love him, I love her, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't realize that the person that is doing the physical abuse, who is the abuser, may not be really in love with them. They may be in love with something else. There's also the mental abuser. That's the person that gets into your head and he or she screws up your head mentally, has you crying, has you thinking crazy thoughts. Have you isolated from your friends, from your family? Because they think they know what's best for you. No, ladies and gentlemen, that's wrong. That's totally wrong. They don't know what's best for you because they don't know what's best for themselves. And I know there's folks out there that aren't going to agree with me or disagree with me. I know there's folks that says that's going to say that I'm allegedly attacking an individual, but I'm not. That individual can speak for themselves. But an abuser, well, as I said earlier, as the name of the show is, domestic violence, avoiding prosecution. An abuser will do what they need to do to avoid prosecution, especially if they're a sweet talker and the woman has fell in love with them while they are dealing with several other people. And I'm not talking about the woman, I'm talking about the abuser. And if the abuser will sweet talk her out of filing charges, which makes it harder. You know, you see time and time again, you'll see pictures of women with bruises. You'll see pictures with men with bruises. You will see pictures of people perpetrating that they were injured in a domestic violence situation. But if you go back and look and try to put two and two together, you may get four and something may not be true. There's always three sides to every story. There's the right side, there's their side, the other person's side, and then the right side. And the only way that some of this is ever sorted out is in the court of law. But it's got to get to the court of law. And before it gets to the court of law, a lot of times the individuals that were abused will go file a protection for against a PFA, protection for abuse order against abuse. But does that really work? That doesn't really work because you go fill out this paperwork here in Philadelphia. Then you got a court date. And then a judge does a stay away order or may not do a stay away order. So you have the PFA court, and then you have a criminal court if criminal charges were filed. You know, so you need the lawyers. Lawyers get involved, defense lawyers get involved, prosecutors get involved. It's her word, his word, his word, his word. But if you don't have witnesses or recordings or videos, and the bad part about it is you may even have texts or emails, but why do you have them? If you're not supposed to be dealing with this person, why do you continue to deal with them? It's the low self-esteem that's involved. On that note, we're going to take our first commercial break. You're listening to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. Our topic today is domestic violence, avoiding corruption, avoiding prosecution.
In my last years with him, there were bruises on my face. In my dawn, a new day, I finally got away. My head's all messed up, and he knows just what to say. No more dawn and new days. I'm going back to stay. So I say bye.
It does me wrong, and I should.
Welcome back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. I'm Randall Jefferson. Our topic today is domestic violence, attempting to avoid prosecution. You know, you listen to that song by Macy Gray, Still, and you hear her talk about, in the beginning, you hear her talk about the abuse. You hear her talk about the love. You hear her talk about she should have left, but she still stayed around or came back. You know, this is what happens when a person is in a domestic type of relationship, violence relationship, and they think that I can go back. It'll be different this time, you know, but it can't be different if you're one of many. You know, if I'm saying giving you the same old swan song and you're buying it, then I'm giving it to the next person, the same old swan song. And then when I get caught with my drawers down, then it becomes an abusive or angry type relationship, because it now is turned against from the abuser to the abusee, that it was their fault. When all along, it was the person that was going around trying to be what they weren't. And they created the situation, the abusive situation. You know, it's not, as I said earlier, you know, government has played a part in violence and domestic abuse. The violence against women, and that was just against women, as I said earlier. We only focused abuse against women until recent years. The Violence Against Women's Act of 1994 is a United States law. It's Title IV. It was signed by President Bill Clinton on September 13th, 1994. The act provided $1.6 billion towards investigation and the prosecution of violent crimes against women, imposed automatic and mandatory restitution on those convicted, and allowed civil redress when prosecutors chose not to prosecute cases. The act also established the Office of Violence Against Women within the U.S. Department of Justice. Something right there, it was really interesting. You know, a prosecution can decide not to pursue convicting or pursue that, excuse me, anything against the abuser, which in turn sends up a red flag, because now this person, like anything else, when you don't do anything to stop the violence, they think they could continuously get away with it. Some just get a slap on the hand. Some just think, oh, I got away with it. And they poke their chest out and smile. And it makes the person that's been abused feel less worthy, especially if they're a woman. That is why women, it's hard for them to go on the stand to face their abuser, because they are worried about what their friends may say. You know, because their friends probably always tell them, I told you about him. I told you about her. I told you he wasn't this. I told you he wasn't that. But when you have blinders on your eyes and you hear this smooth talking, and oh, he's this or she's that, and those blinders mess up your cognitive thinking, you've got a problem, ladies and gentlemen. The bill that we're talking about, the Women Against Violence Against Women's Act of 1994, the bill was introduced by Representative Jack Brooks in 1994 and gained support from a broad coalition of advocacy groups. So, abusers, you're not you're not alone. There are advocacy groups out there that and support groups out there that you could find help. Those people that were abused, you could find help. The act passed through both houses of the U.S. Congress with bipartisan support in 1994. However, House Republicans attempted to cut the act's funding the following year. In 2000, the U.S. Supreme Court case, United States versus Morrison, a sharply divided court struck down the VAWA provision allowing women the right to sue the accused in federal court by a 5-4 majority. The court overturned the provision as exceeding the federal government's power under the Commerce Clause. The VAWA was reauthorized by bipartisan majorities in Congress in 2000 and again in December of 2005. The Act 2012 renewed was opposed by conservative Republicans who objected to extending the Act's protections to same-sex couples and to provisions allowing battered undocumented immigrants to claim temporary visas, but it was reauthorized in 2013 after a long legislative battle as a result of the United States federal government shutdown of 2018 to 2019. The act expired on December 21st, 2018. It was temporarily reinstated via a short-term spending bill on January 25th, 2019, but expired. See, most people don't realize a lot of these acts that when we talk about, when you hear these folks making these promises and if they go into legislation and they are acts or whatever, they have expiration dates, some of them, and they have to be reauthorized. So as we think about this present election coming up, think about that. Will this be something that will be long-term or short-term? The act expired on December 21st, 2018. It was temporarily reinstated via a short-term spending bill on January 25th, 2019, but expired again on February 15th, 2019. The U.S. House of Representatives passed the bill reauthorizing VAWA in April of 2019 that includes new provision protecting transgender. See how this is all evolving? The violence, most of the violence that we knew was against women. Now we're talking about violence and abuse against all parties, regardless of race, creed, sexual orientation, or sex. That includes new provisions protecting transgender victims and banning individuals convicted of domestic violence from purchasing firearms. In an attempt to reach a bipartisan agreement, Senators Joni Ernst, Republican, and Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, led months of negotiation talks that came to halt in November 2019. Senator Ernst said she planned to introduce a new version of the bill and hoped it would pass in the Senate. VAWA was reauthorized on March 15, 2022 by President Joe Biden. In 2024, which is this year, the Supreme Court ruled 8-1, United States versus Rahimi, to uphold the law's domestic violence restraining order, which restricts firearm possessions for people convicted of domestic abuse. It's all well and good that we restrict firearms when we talk about domestic abuse or domestic violence, but there are other forms that can take place. You know, we've heard of people getting hit by cars. We've heard of people disappearing. We've heard of people being choked to death. So a firearm is just one thing that can be used in domestic violence, which encapsulates into the bigger picture of the gun violence laws. So this is where, you know, we've got all these things intertangling and intertwining, but we forget about the person that was abused. You know, sometimes we embarrass the person that was abused, whether it was sexual abuse, whether it was physical abuse, or whether it was mental abuse. Those folks will have years and years and years of recovery, while the abuser will still think he or she is right. And they will garnish support from other folks that know the person but don't know the person. See, folks, you can know a person and could be around a person for months, for years, but you're not around them 24/7. You know some of the tendencies of that person. So if I needed a character witness, I would go to someone that would benefit my character. Someone that doesn't know the whole ins and outs of me. You know, some people will even, if it's a man and a woman is filing abuse against them, a man would try to find other females that would be a character witness for them. But what folks don't understand is a character witness is different than being a person when you're going for a job interview. That when they ask for a character witness, that's the person that could say, oh, well, he's a great guy, she's this, she's that. But do you really know that person? Do you really know who you're talking about? You know, are you a victim? Are you a person that was set up to be a victim? Or are you a person that wants to be something else? You know, we have to really look at what we're talking about when we talk about domestic violence. You know, it's really crazy. What is a character witness letter for a court? What is it? I mean, let's really think about it. You know, you can get a template now. You can go online and get a template, just fill in the blanks. You know, what does a judge look for in a character letter? For individuals writing character letters, the goal should be first to establish your credibility as a reference for the defendant. Key word. You know, here on this show, we use something, we have an acronym called TRAC. Transparency, responsibility, accountability, credibility, and knowledge. We want to hold our elected officials and keep them on track, so you should keep that individual on track. Next, the letter should describe the defendant in order to help the judge better understand him or her beyond the offense committed. That means that you have to know that person. And that it has to be convincing enough that the person convinces the judge. And normally, when you think about abusers and abusee, they're both going to do the same thing. They're both going to do the same thing. They're both going to try to make the other person look bad. And they're both going to go and get members or friends or whatever that's going to make them look good or attempt to make them look good. But the judge and or lawyers have the responsibility to look at the character of the people that are writing the letters as well. And it's the credibility of those people that are writing the letters. Are they just doing it because somebody asked them? Or are they doing it because they're credible? We have to think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Why? When somebody asks you to do something, think about whether you know them. You think you know them or you know them. We have to understand that domestic violence is though it's not really statistically talked about a lot, it's alive and well. It's alive and well. And we need to understand it. And when we come back from our next break, we're going to go into a little more about domestic violence. And we're going to talk about avoiding prosecution. You're listening to Tony Tanner here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPN 97.5 HD2. We're going to take a break now.
But I really can't let you inside. Bad, how deep the pain is. Oh, you just couldn't believe. And yeah, I seem good on the surface, but I'm a mess underneath. See, when I took most of my heart, and spring punched me right in the stomach. Summer came looking for blood, and by autumn I was left with nothing. It took a whole damn year to repair my body. It took a whole damn year. It took a whole damn year to repair my body. It's been a bad 5 years. Gonna take a long, long year for me to trust somebody. Gonna take a long, long year. Gonna take a long, long year for me to touch somebody. It's been a bad 5 years. I'm not trying to do this on purpose. Boy, I really wish I could. Don't act like you never heard this. I know you haven't misunderstood. Don't tell me you as well. I thought we were headed for heaven, but you're about to take me back to hell. See, when it took most of my heart, and spring punched me right in the stomach. Summer came looking for blood, and by autumn I was left with nothing. Took a whole damn year to repair my body. It took a whole damn year. It took a whole damn year to repair my body. It's been a bad 5 years. Gonna take a long, long year for me to trust somebody. Gonna take a long, long year. Gonna take a long, long year for me to touch somebody. It's been a bad 5 years.
Welcome, welcome back to Tone Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPN 97.5 HD2. Our topic today is domestic violence, attempting to avoid prosecution. That's Mary J. Blige. It took a whole damn year to repair her body. And you know, Mary J. has a set up a foundation for domestic violence and domestic those that were domestic abuse. That was the song that she came up with for this. And, you know, even though it took a year, that was just that year, that doesn't mean a person that has been involved in any type of domestic violence situation is totally healed in a year. It takes a while. Some people never get healed. While the abuser may continue to be an abuser, because what they think, he or she thinks, that they allegedly did wasn't wrong, because it's in their mind. It's in their mind. So some general statistics about violence and statistics. An average of 24 people per minute are victims of rape, physical violence, or stalking by an intimate partner in the United States. More than 12 million women and men over the course of a single year. That's an astonishing number. 12 million people, 24 per minute. How many of those do you hear about? Nearly 3 in 10 women, 29%, and 1 in 10 men, 10% in the United States, have experienced rape, physical violence, and or stalking by a partner. Just under 15% of women and 4% of men in the United States have been injured. Now, this is important, people. Have been injured as a result of an intimate partner's violence that may have included rape, physical violence, and or stalking by the intimate partner. We're talking about a partner, we're talking about somebody that you have had some type of relationship with. You know, we're talking about someone that may think they are in a relationship with that person, but they may be one of many. 1 in 4 women, 24.3%, and 1 in 7 men aged 18 and older in the United States have been the victim of severe physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. We're talking about broken bones. We're talking about black eyes. We're talking about major, major physical trauma to the body. We're talking about real, real, you know, the stuff you see on TV, you know. Intimate partner violence alone affects more than 12 million people every year. Over 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men in the United States have experienced rape, physical violence, and or stalking. Almost half of all women and men in the United States have experienced psychological aggression. You know, you could be violent psychologically, you know, psychological aggression, where that person tried to instill their own values, or where they tell you you're this, you're that, you're that. They can be degrading, pull you down, pull your self-esteem down, and bring you lower to make you think they are your answer to your problems. Women ages 18 to 24 and 25 to 34 generally experience the highest rates of intimate partner violence. From 1994 to 2010, approximately 4 in 5 victims of intimate partner violence were female. Most female victims, intimate partner violence, were previously victimized by the same offender, at rates of 77% for women's ages 8 to 24, 76% for 25 to 34, and 81% 35 to 40. Hey, you see how that's going up? Those numbers are going up. These abuse numbers are going up. You know, you can go on on the domestic violence hotline website, and you can see these statistics. You can look at all of these. You can look at it from the rape victims. You can look at it from child victims. You can look at it. You can think about it. Think about who tries to avoid prosecution. The haves will be the ones that try to degrade the have-nots. The professional, some professional athletes, the folks in the music industry, and those people that believe that they have relationships in government, in judicial systems, in the police systems, will be another group of people. Because most of these things, it's just like when we talk politics here, it's not about the money, it's about the power. The abuser controls the power. They want the power over the person or persons that they are abusing. To the extent that some will go from a verbal abuse to a physical abuse, to a rage of destroying property, to a rage of yelling and screaming, an uncontrollable rage that some of the abusers, the only way that they can begin to heal themselves is to seek out professional help. The bottle is not, alcohol is not the answer. The talking to your friends is not the answer. Talking to someone professionally, getting professional help, and understanding yourself, your own inner self first, before you do anything else, because you are now going to take that rage out on somebody else. You can even do economic abuse where you make yourself as you're the abuser, that you need this, you need that, and you're telling people what they should do economically, and you're not doing it yourself. But then you have to talk to them in that sweet, kind way so that they can help you out of your predicaments. And then you forget that they helped you out. Because the abuser has a one-sided mind. With that said, we're going to wrap up this show. As you know, this was a prelude to Domestic Abuse Month, which is October. There's a lot of help out there. You can find it on the internet. And to those that are abused, look your abuser in the face and take them down. Because that's the only way that they're going to understand they are wrong. And with that, I'm just like to say thank you to Tyler, engineer. Thank you to TJ for helping us out today. And I want to say thank you for listening to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. On X, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. On Facebook, we are just type in www.facebook.com/Tone and Tenor. And again, I'd like to wish my mother a happy birthday. Her birthday will be tomorrow. Happy birthday to my mother, 89 years young.
pressure, but I'm